Hello and welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. I am your host, Brady Fitzgerald, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Hager.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Chris. Doing well. Sorry for the delay. It's been 9 days. Our schedule is just kind of, I've been working for 18 days straight. It's just been, it's been hell. But we're back.
We're workaholic.
I am a workaholic. It's bad. But we didn't miss much, so we're back. Here we are. We're talking today. We're going to be going through. I'm going to give a little preview just because we're going to be all over the place throughout the rest of the day. So we're going to be talking. We're going to be talking Sadiq Bey to the Wizards. Wiz Talk's going to start us off. Then we're going to be talking Team USA, then baseball, and then our top five for the night. And then we'll wrap this up. So let's get right into it. Wiz Talk's back, Chris. Wizards made another great move by the Wizards. One of my favorite players in the entire league. Sadiq Bey is now, he's home. He's home in Washington. And perfect replacement for Denny. He's kind of like, he's almost like a carbon copy of just another Denny that you can get. He's a little worse at defense, I'd say, but a little bit better in offense. He was hurt last year for the Hawks. Didn't get to showcase as much as he did in previous seasons. I've always liked him. He dropped 51 points in a random game 2 years ago. That's probably in my mind every time I see him, but 51 is 51 and you're in an NBA game. So I love it for the Wiz. It's a perfect signing. Cheap too. $6 million a year.
Was he never a Celtic?
No, I've always wanted him to be a Celtic.
Why did I think he was a Celtic?
Cause I've just,
just assumed that because you liked him so much that he was one of those guys.
Yeah. It was just like
because
Celtic
he was a Celtic for a little bit.
No, never. No.
Yeah. I pulled up his basketball reference page. I was like, wait a minute. This is just not what I was thinking. His numbers are much better than I thought they were, to be honest.
They're great.
But yeah, he's a perfect Wizard. He's just a guy. Not a star.
No, not a star.
He's a competent basketball player. A professional.
It's almost too good.
They're all compliments.
I hope he doesn't get some wins for the team. Like, what if he throws up a random 51-point game?
I'll take that. That would be the highlight
sweet.
Of the season.
That would be sweet. $6.5 million. If he did it on the Wizards, I'd get like a poster of him. I'd get a Sadiq Bey. What are the fat heads on the wall? What's they're called? Fat heads.
Fat head. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd get one of those. I'd get a good old Wizards
one. I remember those used to be big. For me. I still have like the mini fat heads. Mm-hmm. I never got one of the big ones.
No, I never got a big one.
It was a lot.
They are a lot. I remember the most prominent one I know.
Like a lot of money and just in your face.
Yeah, it's like it's three times the size of the actual guy.
Like a person on your wall.
But like also like bigger than the person. It's crazy. My now that we're talking about fatheads, the most prominent fathead, shout out Matt Byers. He has the Jabal Charles fathead on his wall, and I'll never forget it. It's just like his whole wall. His whole wall is Jamal Charles. So shout out Matt.
I hear fat head, I just picture like a big LeBron head smacked on some Brown Sexual's wall.
Surprised my brother never had one of those. We had the 2K.
I don't know why I picture that. But.
We had the 2K20 like standees that they had at GameStop. And
I remember those.
When they were like, when the 2K.
You have them in the background for the podcast?
I had him in the background, I think, at some point in the pod. I should bring him back. I should just put him down here and just put him behind me. We have two. I have two LeBrons, life-size bronze, made out of cardboard in my house. Pretty sweet, right? All right, back to Sadiq Bey.
Sell those on eBay.
No, they might be something on eBay. But no, I would rather have LeBron life-size in my room. All right. I do like the move for the Wizards. Yes. Long story short. I think it's a good signing. I think it's a risk-free signing. They got rid of Denny. It's a guy who replaces them. They should be fun.
All of their signings are risk-free.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly how you got to play.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
Even if they give out the worst 4-year contract in the world, it won't matter.
That's true. Hey, Sadiq Bey, maybe he pushes up the timeline. Who knows? Gets in Sar's head. Here's how you
maybe Sadiq Bey, he'll be like Julius Randle.
Yeah.
He'll just take like a huge step forward and he'll become the guy.
Yeah.
You need to get Kuzma out of there though, if that's gonna happen.
He's clogging up the space now.
So I don't know. He's not dropping 51 points with Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma taking shots.
No, Kuz need to get out of here. You can deal with it. Like, no one's gonna take Poole, but you gotta find someone to take Kuz.
No, yeah, you might as well just fake an injury.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He should Ben Simmons this next two seasons.
That would be great. Be perfect.
Let's get into some basketball that people are more caring about in this time around. The Olympics are starting up. The exhibition games have gone underway. Some of the qualifying games have already happened. I know Slovenia and Luka Doncic is out of the Olympics because Greece beat them. And Giannis is in. So that's cool. But Team USA, it has some heavy, heavy hitters on this team. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Anthony Davis, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and now Derek White. Star-studded roster here. We brought out the big guns. We were not embarrassing ourselves. In front of
everybody. We should mention that Kawhi Leonard is load managing the Olympics.
He did. So yes, Kawhi Leonard was originally on this roster. It was an even bigger star to add to this roster, another defensive anchor to add to this roster. He showed up for the pictures. He did all the training camp, and then he left. then he went home. It came out. It was like him and the Clippers were like, maybe it's best if he just stay home. And it's a smart move. I think it's a smart move. I'm not even hating on him for it. I think he never should have gone in the first place. I think that would have been a better, classier move.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if Joel Embiid's agents sell him the same thing, and I'm not even trying to hate on Embiid, but he's got weak knees. If my agents are telling me not to play in this because I'm trying to win an NBA championship, I'm gonna listen to my agent.
I mean, honestly, at this point in Kawhi's career, I think gold
medal. We all expected it.
Might be.
Like, did anyone expect him to actually play? I didn't.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I don't ever expect him to play.
Yeah, on the Clippers. Game,
really.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could be game 7 in the playoffs, and I don't expect him to play. Like, it didn't change, and it's funny, it doesn't affect his legacy, because it doesn't change anything of his legacy.
They'll get a medal if they win.
I hope not. He doesn't deserve a medal if they win. That would be un-American. That would make me angry. That
would be un-American, yeah.
That would be participation trophy to the max. Literally a gold medal for participation. That would be insane. Anyways.
Not even participation.
Yeah.
Participation by association.
Yeah, association award. That's what it would be. It would just be a legacy award at that point. Here you go, Kawhi. He's a gold medal. Anyone surprise you that they didn't make the roster?
They didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Not off the top of my head. Do you have somebody?
Well, a big one in the news cycle of this Team USA basketball has been Jaylen Brown, actually, because his teammate, Derek White, got chosen over him for Team USA.
That is surprising, I guess, yeah.
It's
Drew Holiday, how did he get on there?
Yeah.
Was he on the team before? Is it
he
like
was.
A
yeah, he was on
legacy the team. Thing?
Well, he was on the or, team
like, you're on it before,
in 2020, and I think he just plays, like, I think the reason why they picked Derek White and the reason why they picked Drew Holiday is because they play defensive and they're guards. Everyone else on this roster is like,
yeah.
Well, besides Curry, everyone else could play forward or guard.
I mean, Brown.
Halliburton.
Defense and his guard.
Yeah, yeah, Brown could, but he couldn't play point guard.
Not really a ball handling guard, I guess.
Yeah, but, not a point guard, not a ball handler. I don't know what goes into the decision. I don't even know who makes the decision, but I think it has to do with Nike, because it has to. Jaylen Brown comes out and he's like,
I like Isaiah Thomas from the Last Dance.
Yeah, that's how Jaylen Brown feels. If you look at it, If you go to his Twitter.
I don't know what went in there.
Oh, that's why you were laughing. I was almost doing the whole quote. He met the qualifications to be selected, but he wasn't. Jaylen Brown should just post that clip on Twitter. He's tweeting at Nike. He's seeing if that's the problem. He's tweeting at Stephen A again because the state your sources thing. Do you remember that during the NBA Finals? Mm-hmm. Stephen A. Smith comes out and he says this whole thing, a piece about Jaylen Brown and about how he's like toxic in the, I think it's like because he's toxic in the locker room or something. According to Stephen A., according to his sources. And so then Jaylen Brown had a shirt during the championship parade that said, state your sources. And he was like, F you, Stephen A., what is going on here? So now Jaylen Brown's in a funk. All the Celtics haters want it to be some sort of thing against the Celtics. I don't think they have any say in what goes on. But somebody asked Tatum, too, today. They're like, is it hard to be out here without...
Pretty embarrassing, honestly.
Say again? Pretty embarrassing. Finals MVP.
It's pretty embarrassing. It's not like he has a Finals MVP.
Yeah, that's a good
to
point.
To fall back on.
He's having a pretty damn good summer. Like, I wouldn't be too upset. And
I think he's fine.
Yeah, I think he's fine, too. I lost my train of thought here. But, oh, yeah, the reporters today, or yesterday, asked Jason Tatum, is it hard to play without Jaylen Brown? And he was like, I mean, like, I guess. Like, that's like my brother and all. Like, what did they want him to be like, man, it's just, like, impossible to play without
There's
him.
There's nobody to carry me anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what he wanted. Said. Yeah, honestly.
He was funny.
No one to take all my aura.
He had any aura. That's what I said. Boom.
All right. Some notable players. I think the best team we actually played last night, which was Canada, which has NBA players that you might know of as RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, Lou Dort, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray, Andrew Nimhart, Kelly Olynyk. So they have a lot of NBA guys that get thrown out there. What it seemed like the issue was last night during the exhibition game that they played is that they just didn't have enough of the NBA guys out there. When you're having Dwight Powell Dwight Powell is good at defense. He's good at FIBA basketball. But when you have Ken Birch, you know, Alexander Walker's all right. Trey Lyles, these guys are not defensively going to hold up against LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo. I liked watching just to see how they subbed in all these guys because there's 12 of them that are really, really good at basketball. And they had at one point, they had Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo out there, and we just destroyed them on boards. The Canadian team just did not get...
Oh, I'm sure.
They just did not get any boards. And defensively, we just swallowed them up. So I think that's the key. If there's any slow momentum in the game like there was at the beginning of the exhibition game, we're just going to throw out Davis and Bam Adebayo or Embiid. And I don't know if they had Embiid and Davis out at the same time, but Bam Adebayo is a little shorter than them, so it makes sense to have him play power forward at points. But having that versatility is just going to swallow these other countries.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't lose a single game for being serious.
No, yeah, well, they should.
Because you're right, like, that is, Canada is the best other team, just based on talent. I mean, France has Wemby.
Australia has a decent team.
And Greece has Giannis.
Germany has a good team.
Germany's team is not bad.
Germany's team's not bad.
They're
either.
Decent, but, like, they have solid NBA players on their team.
Yes, but they don't have superstars.
Like, Germany has the Wagners.
Yeah, they have Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder.
Mm-hmm. Bonga, our guy.
Tice.
Wiztalk. Bonga.
I used him in the Immaculate Grid one time for, like, Lakers-Wizards, and it was a huge close.
Oh, that's a,
like,
classic
1%.
One. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a classic.
Yes.
That is a classic.
But, like, none of these teams have the depth that the U.S. has. And they can play, like, any matchup. Like, they can play big, they can play small.
Yep. So yeah, they can go.
It would be embarrassing to lose a single game, I think.
I 100,000% agree. We have the all-star team out there. And
yes.
When you have, at one point late in the game, Curry's on a fast break, tosses it to Bron. Bron tosses it back. Curry throws him a lob. It was spectacular. It was like everything, because in the All-Star games, you know, it's fun to see them have some cool tricks, and they're on the same team most of the time, LeBron and Curry, and they have, you know, a couple good plays. But no one's playing defense. No one's taking it seriously. This was in a high intensity, in the flow of the game, in a fast break. It was awesome. And LeBron, after the game, they interviewed him. He was like, yeah, Curry gave me that one, which was nice. But earlier in the game, I tossed him a three in the corner, but I wasn't looking, and I threw it out of bounds. So I got to get him. I got to get him a nice three assist soon. So having those two on the game is just going to be.
Not my goat.
Say again.
They're not my goat.
Yeah, Jordan would be like, I'm not passing him that ball. You think I'm going to pass that boy that ball? But having these guys on the same floor, on the same court, is just going to be, it's going to be must-watch TV. Like, I found myself, it was 12:30 at night, and I'm watching exhibition game against Canada just because I want to see the guys on the floor. And I think, like, I don't know, it's something that is needed in this country right now, where we have a team that everyone likes.
Oh, yeah.
We have a team that everyone is supposed to root for and everyone likes, and they put the stars on it, and I hope it works out. You're right. We shouldn't lose a game, we should dominate all these guys. Rui's on the Japanese team.
I did see a pretty awesome Rui, yeah. So is Kisei Tominaga from Nebraska.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I remember him. And
also, France, where are, like, the six guys who got drafted?
Are they allowed? So, like, what's the rules there?
The number one.
Yeah, number one pick. Number one pick is
Tominaga's.
Yeah, he just got drafted, or undrafted, but he's just out of college. They have Cooper Flagg on the reserve.
Wait, is anybody on that? Yeah, but he didn't get drafted. Oh, wait, why would that affect anything?
I don't know. French kind of scares me.
Oh, is it because they're in summer league?
Could be.
I don't know. But do you think, like, these the French guys?
There's not one name from the draft. No, there's not one name from the draft.
Eating up? That's what I'm saying. Guys who are...
Oh, that are playing in the front. Up, yeah, that are whooping them.
Sasha and Alex Starr.
Should we be scared of France?
Are these those guys, I think... Based on what we said, I think we should at least be a little bit concerned.
I'm concerned about
Gobert and Wemby.
I was just gonna say, I'm concerned about Gobert and Wemby. That's what I'm concerned about.
That
is gonna be the biggest, man. This French team went under our radar for the first 10 minutes of this conversation. This French team is kind of nice. I mean, they have.
Well, it's because it's really only those two guys.
Yeah, and they got Koulibaly, which I guess Nick Batum is a NBA vet. And... They don't have any guards, which is the issue. No. They have stuck with Fournier and Bilal. And
they don't. Except for Frank.
Yeah, Frank Ntilikina.
I can never pronounce this name. Ntilikina.
Yeah, the T is just there. The T is just there in that name. I don't know what it's for. It's Ntilikina, I believe.
When you first said that, I was like, what are you talking about?
I didn't even know a T was in his name until I'm reading it right now. We should, yeah, but you, as scary as Wemby is, when Anthony Davis comes up against him, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem no matter what.
Right. And they could, like, they're going to double team him. They're just going to smother him.
Yeah, and it's not like you need to guard Rudy on the offensive side.
He's freakish enough where he's going to be able to score through double teams, but let's not act like the U.S. isn't the quickest team that, like, they're going to be able to recover from double teams.
Yeah, and they're also, like, everyone here is fast. Everyone's going to be able to run, and Tyrese Halliburton on this team is going to be Magic Johnson. If I was him, I would just, I'm going to try to win every game without taking a shot. And I guess maybe, like ego-wise, people don't want to do that, but, like, I would just be like, let me just hop, skip, and jump. He was out there. I don't know what the FIBA rules are with traveling, but that dude was traveling every single play. He does like these hop skips, and he must do them on the Pacers too, because he did it every time he touched the ball. And He does this hop skip, and it's like, it looks like he's just carrying it the whole time. So he takes like three dribbles, and he makes it like 90% of the court. And he's just like skipping along like a girl in a daisy field.
Basketball wizard.
Basketball wizard, yeah. But he's gonna have a lot of fun. All these guys. All right. Oh, I guess last thing we could say about this.
The last thing.
Oh,
go ahead. Oh, okay. We got two last.
Two last things. Yeah, you go first.
Ant saying he's number one.
That was my last thing. All right,
number
cool.
one option. He's like, oh well, we only have one last thing. I lost it. That derailed me.
Sorry.
But he, the nerve of him. He's 22 or 23, and he's just like, yeah, like, AD, LeBron, Steph, nah. I am the number one option on this team.
And not only did he say that, but he said, they're going to have to run it through me. I'm going to have to be the number one option. And, but, hey.
I kind of, like.
You love, you got to like those
crazy,
quotes.
But I respect that, like, just level of confidence.
Oh, yeah. I think that's
who was it that said that they asked, like, who's the best player in the league? And he said, like, me when I get on the floor. Is that Chet?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Chet, when he got drafted. Yes, when he got drafted, they were like, who's the best player in the NBA? And he's like, me when I step on the court. That's. I would much rather have. Like, the reporter is in the fault here for asking the question. I would rather have my guy say, I'm the best player on the team than him go, what, like, if Anthony Edwards, LeBron's going to be a lot of, like, we're going to have to run a lot through LeBron and Curry, and I'm just going to have to sit on the bench a lot. Like, is that, like, if he said that, everyone would rip into him.
Yeah.
So, that's on the reporter. Though you can't be asking those questions when the guys play in the league. Yeah. Like, you look like a chump if you just say anyone else.
Yeah. You should believe that you're the best.
That's the other thing.
Oh, is that, you know who? I just thought of somebody who I thought would be on the team that's not Jimmy Butler. Although he might still be recovering from, I don't know, whatever his injury was.
A hangover?
Hangover?
Yeah. Jimmy Butler could have fit well on this team. I don't think his three-point shooting is as well as they probably would have wanted it to be. And he didn't.
He's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's true. He is Jimmy Butler. All right. Also, I didn't realize Joe Ingles still suiting up for Australia. Love it. All right.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Jock Lock. Oh, no, never mind. I was thinking of Jack Golkey. I thought he was on Team Australia. I was like, do you see him in the summer league?
Oh, no.
He had one.
I saw that he signed.
He had one shot on OKC, and I think he played like 4 minutes in that game, and he did his step back shot and just like buried it over some guy.
Hey.
Yeah, it was great. He was like completely sideways, like he was in college too. Like his body's like this, and his arms are forward. Yeah, it's sweet. All right, let's move on. I think that's a good.
Did you see the video of Ant walking in and dapping up LeBron?
No.
Like the video, the whole team is walking into the gym, and like LeBron sits down to put his sneakers on, and Ant walks in and just like
daps him up.
It's one of the hardest videos that I've seen.
That's
because they do. The TikTok that I saw, it was an edit of whoever the track runner was that was complaining about how they call it NBA
the world champions.
World champions.
Yeah,
he's like, it's not even the world champ. Like, what is that champion of United States? And then it cuts to that clip, and they all walk into the gym. It's like Ron and AD, and then Curry.
That's awesome.
And then KD.
That's such a lame quote, too, while we're on that.
You're about to find out that I think they are the world champs.
Oh, that it's funny. That argument comes up once a year and gets shut down within the same week every year.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Because the guy who said it, he knows everyone who plays professional basketball comes to the NBA, right? Or at least everyone who plays the highest level of professional basketball. Whatever.
Yeah, the NBA is more competitive than world basketball.
Yeah.
The best players are American.
Well, and the best players come to America to play in the NBA.
That's why I'm saying the NBA is more competitive.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
All right. The guys are split up by country.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. I actually found out one more thing. So we do have two last things. Did you see Barack Obama do the Key and Peele?
What do you mean the Key and Peele?
He dapped up every player.
Like that sketch where.
Yeah, he dapped up every player on Team USA, and it was pinpoint accuracy to the Key and Peele sketch from, what, 10 years ago now? And he daps up all the players, brings them in, gives them hugs, everything. He goes up to the coaches, gives them nice, firm handshakes. He goes up to Eric Spoelstra. And Eric Spoelstra is, he goes up to Eric Spoelstra. He looks at him. He literally diagnoses him for a second, goes in for the handshake, and then brings him in close, like the one guy in the episode where it's like, in the Key and Peele episode where he's like, oh, he's 50% black. And he comes in, he's like, oh, like my half brother. Like, that's what he did to Spoelstra. It was exactly the same thing. It was crazy. I was like, I don't know if Obama's seen this sketch and just wanted to do it, or if that's.
I'm sure he has.
I'm sure he has too. But he played it to a T, and I loved it. It was awesome. That's all I got.
That's fun.
All right. Baseball, Chris, what we got? MLB, doing a little...
Baseball.
Doing a little
recap. We are over halfway in the season at this point. As we've hit that milestone, best team in the league is still yours truly.
Beating the Dodgers right now?
Games now.
Top of the seventh, beating the Dodgers.
Yep, took the first two games up 4-1 now. So hopefully that holds. But yeah, we're coming up on the All-Star break. This is the last weekend of play until next week, where we got Monday Home Run Derby, Tuesday All-Star game, and Wednesday, maybe Thursday off days. So exciting time of the year. I love the All-Star game. I feel like it's the only All-Star game in sports where they can actually play like 95% effort.
Yeah.
Because there's no contact.
Yeah.
You don't have to hang around with each other. So yeah, that's I think baseball is the best All-Star game for that reason. The Derby, there's a rule change this year where like you can only see a certain amount of pitches per round. So It's not, it's like rapid fire, but it's controlled almost.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's to benefit the guys who do it or just for like fairness reasons, but little kink in the rules this year. That the only thing disappointing about the Derby, and it's kind of like the dunk contest, not to the same degree, but like the best guys aren't in it. So like Judge isn't in it, Ohtani's not in it, Gunner from the Orioles is doing it. I bet that it's gonna be the last time he ever does it, because that's how it seems to go. Like they do it once and then they do it once or twice, and then they're done. Unless you're Pete Alonso on the Mets,
and you do it
every year because it's your World Series.
Why not?
Which really makes me laugh. I'm so glad that he's in it.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, like, it's your thing, but it puts so much pressure on him to win. He like
because he does it every year. Because he does it every year.
He did win it twice in a row.
Hey, if you just like to hit dingers, why not?
I mean, you could do it during your team's games. Oh, what a catch. Sorry. The Mets have turned around a little bit, so I won't harp on them too badly. But rooting against Pete Alonso in the Home Run Derby is one of my favorite things. I forget who else is even doing it. I think Adolis Garcia of the Rangers is doing it. Boom of the Phillies is doing it. He doesn't really hit that many home runs, so I'm not sure how he weaseled his way in there, but he did. It'll be fun. Like, watching guys hit dingers is fun, regardless. I would recommend watching.
Jose Ramirez, is he? He's good. He's good, right?
Oh, yeah. Ramirez.
What about Bobby Witt? Yeah,
so that's Gunner, Garcia, Alonso. Oh, yeah, Witt's doing it, too. Okay, Witt's exciting. I like him. But none of those guys are, like, premier power hitters in the game, aside from Gunnar Henderson, really.
So he's the favorite.
Dolis Garcia.
He's got to be the favorite, right, Gunner?
He would have. I mean, maybe Alonzo's the favorite because he's done it so many times. And he has a strategy, I guess. He also has, like, the best. The other funny thing about the Derby is it matters so much who throws you the pitches.
Yeah.
Because in the new format, you can't, like, it's timed. So you used to be able to just take any pitch that you didn't like.
Yeah.
Because the system was, if you hit the ball and it wasn't a home run, it was an out, and you'd get, like, 10 outs or whatever. Now, under the timer, you're more incentivized to swing at every pitch.
Yeah.
So if your pitcher's money, you're just hitting nuke after nuke.
Yeah.
Or if they're bad, then, like, you just don't get as many chances.
Now, does a teammate pitch for him?
Alonzo has the best guy. Usually, one of the coaches on the team
pitches for him.
Sometimes guys will bring out, like, their dads or an old coach or something like that. Like, Bryce Harper's dad threw to him.
That's cool.
All right, there's a guy that had, like, his high school coach, so. Yeah, I would have Rich Sieber throw my BP if
yeah.
I were ever to do the Derby.
You can throw a mean pitch, yeah.
There is great. Great batting practice.
That's good.
That's a quick aside. I don't think Kev's come up in a while, so maybe just listen to this one too. Anyway, I remember the last time we did baseball on the podcast, but I'm assuming since then the Yankees have crashed and burned a little bit.
Yes.
That was, I guess, one of the main things. Because the Orioles have taken that division back. They have a 2-game lead. The Red Sox, your Red Sox.
Yeah, they don't look too shabby.
3-team hot. They, I believe, are in a playoff spot right now. They have to be, right? Last wild card spot. They currently have 9 games over 500. Firing on all cylinders right now. They lost to Oakland last night, but I think since June 12th, because I was watching a little bit of their game last night. I think it was since June 12th is they've had the
best record
in the league, if not close.
Wow, it's almost a month.
Pretty cool. Yeah, no, it's been a long, like, they beat up on the Phillies a little bit, and they won their next series. I was like, all right, well, that sucks that we caught them on their hot streak. And then it just never ended.
Wow.
It kept going, so.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Good for you guys.
What do you know? I mean, I know you haven't been following them every game, but do you know what has switched? What has turned on that made them
I think it's mostly the offense, because the pitching has been pretty good all year. But they've gotten more production from their leadoff hitter, Jaron Duran.
He's an all-star.
He's
an
all-star this year. He's had, like, a breakout year. Devers always matches this guy, Ref Snyder, O'Neill. The guys that they expect to produce have been stepping up big time. Yes.
Still no Trevor, whatever his name is, right?
Oh, Story?
Yeah.
I don't know what his deal is, but yeah, that's kind of a sunk cost at this point.
Could have had Mookie Betts, but you know what? We'll take that guy instead.
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough, that move. Because they never went into, like, a full rebuild.
One of the dumbest moves in sports. It's so long ago, too, but it's such a dumb move. It drained. Because I remember it was probably, I think it was 2018, they win. And then they would go one more year, and they were pretty mid. And then they trade them. And I was like, all right, so you just not, like, that's just an F you to, like, every Red Sox fan.
Yes. Yeah. Like, how? I don't know why they didn't extend him the day after they won the World Series.
Because the owner's cheap. Glass. That's why. The owner's cheap. And he's the reason why is because he's saving all this money so LeBron can go buy the Vegas team in 4 years. I'm so serious. LeBron is part of the Fenway group that owns the Red Sox. They own Arsenal. They own the Red Sox, and they're going to own the Vegas team. And that's why they're not spending any money on the Red Sox.
Kroenke owned Arsenal.
They might have sold Arsenal, but they were a part of it at some point. I'm looking at it right now.
It's John Henry. He was like the chairman. Okay, Fenway Group teams. Liverpool.
No, okay. All right. That's what it is. Liverpool.
Are they on the Penguins? I didn't know that.
Man, yeah. Penguins, yeah, Liverpool.
So what's the story? They want to buy...
They want to buy the... People, so that LeBron group. James. Yeah, that group. LeBron James is a part of them. And they want to own the Vegas team because LeBron wants to own the Vegas team. So they're not going to spend...
What Vegas team?
They're going to make a Vegas team. Give it 3 years. They're going to have...
In the NBA?
Yeah. Vegas and then... They're going to add Seattle.
What is the deal with Vegas? Why is it such a big
Because the Golden Knights worked.
For teams?
Because the Golden Knights worked. That's why.
That's...
If the Golden Knights didn't work, we wouldn't have had all these. Business side, I think. Yeah, no, we wouldn't have gotten these Vegas deals.
Right, but there was nothing there. Like, they were the team. They were the only professional sports team in town.
Yeah, it worked.
The NFL will succeed in any city anywhere.
Yeah.
Because it's the NFL. And people will travel to go to games.
You don't think people are going to go to NBA have, like, games in Vegas? Like
baseball and basketball there?
They already have WWE.
Now you have three shows in town. I know they have.
I was just saying.
I'm just curious to see how it works.
I mean, I think it'll work. I think there's...
Because part of the reason the Golden Knights worked is because they're the only ticket.
Yeah, but it's Vegas. You think people aren't going to go to NBA games?
I know it's Vegas.
Like, people are there to go to events, so they'll be fine. I just don't know. I don't know what you're worried about. I think they'll be fine.
Yes.
Wait until I don't think baseball would work in Vegas. I think that's the sport we got to draw the line at.
Why?
It's not fast paced enough.
No, I said it's too hot.
Oh, too hot. Yeah. Way too hot. I thought you said why. I was like.
Yeah. No, I think baseball in Vegas is a horrible idea.
No, that's not a good idea at all.
Because it's like, yeah, it's like a flashy city. Like, baseball is not a flashy sport.
No. No, baseball belongs in old cities, not new cities. Cities that respect baseball, you know? Vegas doesn't respect baseball.
Yes, right. Oh, Vegas doesn't deserve it, and baseball doesn't deserve Vegas.
I don't think Vegas deserves an NBA team either, but that's beyond my...
Vegas deserves, like, Kevin Durant. You can have him.
Just him. And they deserve, like, no, they deserve, like, the big three. Finals. They should have, like, the big three play there every year.
Yeah, you can have the Suns. Oh, you mean, like, the league, the big three.
No, yeah, like, I meant the big three, yeah. The Suns?
I meant the in-season tournament. Give them that.
They do. They already have it. The finals. Oh, yeah. The semifinals and the finals. Good idea, Chris.
There we go, yeah. I'm a genius.
Weren't we talking about baseball? We got in a big tangent.
We were.
That was a good tangent, though. I like it.
Mookie Bet, yeah. I can see how we track that back. You just, like, you said that, and I was like, let's dive into that a little bit more. Because we were talking about Mookie Betts, and you were like, well, the freaking owner's cheap because LeBron wants to buy the Vegas team.
I can see how that could come out of left field. All right, so
there we go for transition left field.
Yeah, exactly. Baseball. What other? So Blue Jays, they kind of stink. Were they stinking the whole time? I don't remember. I feel like they were all right. Have they been bad?
Yes, they are. Although they were a team that when you ask me like what teams are playing poorly right now that could go come back and go for a run later, I identify them as one of those teams, and they have not. So I guess that's. That's another talking point is trade deadline coming up July 31st. So we are getting to the point. It's like right after the All-Star game is when the rumor mill really starts going crazy. But we are kind of getting to that point. And for the best teams, it's been happening for over a month now where we're talking about trades. But there are a bunch of bubble teams right now. Toronto's one of them.
Red Sox.
Rangers. Are one of them. The Red Sox are not going to sell. Like if they're over 500 at the deadline
until LeBron comes. And
unless
says,
LeBron, until he comes. LeBron makes a call.
Tampa is a big one right now. They have some pieces that are coveted. On the NL side, the Nationals are one, although they're 10 games under it. They're going to sell. The Cubs are a big one. And maybe the Diamondbacks are kind of your battleground teams, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's an election year. But those teams will determine the demand of the market, because now that you have the 6-team playoff, you have more teams that are going to be buying at the deadline and try to make it in. And especially baseball has shown that if you make it into the playoffs, you have a chance to win the World Series.
Like,
that's how the structure of the postseason works. So you've got 12 minimum, probably 16 to 18 teams looking to make upgrades. How many of those bubble teams are going to actually sell or are going to try to fight their way back in the postseason? So obviously the White Sox, they're going to trade away all their best players, and they are going to get a haul of prospects back. They're going to trade Luis Robert. All right. Might just be Robert. It seems like it should. His last name shouldn't be Robert, but I think it is Robert, and I always read it as Robert.
Robert.
But he's not French.
but it's Louis. It's Louis Robert. That's why. Can't be Louis Robert.
Yeah, right. It does. I'm pretty sure it's just Robert.
Yeah, that's a bad way really to end lame. It. Louis Robert.
Yeah. You don't say Louis like it's French, then.
Yeah, Louis Robert.
Who's Louis?
Yeah, just Louis Robert. Yeah.
But it is Louis.
No. So it's got to be Robert. It's got
to
be.
You just don't have to say it like.
It's got to be Robert.
It's not. I don't think it is. Look.
So,
anyway, Robert, he'll be traded. He apparently asking for like way too much. So honestly, maybe.
Oh, no. Chris? Uh-oh. No, I think we're back. What's up?
Okay. I was trying to look up his pronunciation. I just heard the noise of Discord. Yeah, it's just straight up Robert. But anyway, their asking price is very high. So if they don't knock it down a little bit, then they might actually not be able to deal him. And then the other guy, Garrett Crochet, they have. He's been one of the best pitchers in the American League this year. Yeah, so and he's under team control for a couple years. So they should get a big haul for him too. So honestly, as bad as they are, they put themselves in an okay position with these two guys, if they can make the right moves. None of the other shitty teams are really like that, unless the A's trade Mason Miller, but I don't think they will. They'll trade Brent Rooker, I think, who's like a power bat. It's funny on Twitter. But baseball deadline every year is like everybody's looking for bullpen. A lot of teams are looking for an extra starting pitcher. There's usually like one or two, maybe three really good starting pitchers that are available. A lot of the other guys are just kind of back end F pieces to get you through the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis Cardinals were another one who's a bubble team, but the National League is so freaking bad. They have one of the best closers in the league who definitely would have been a trade candidate. But now that they're four games over 500, even though the run differential is minus 38.
Oof.
Sounds like the Caps, honestly. He probably won't be going anywhere. So, I think the biggest bullpen name out there is the Marlins' Tanner Scott. Oh, maybe the Nationals' Kyle Finnegan.
Oh, wait. While we're on the Nationals. These
are two big-name closers. Sorry, I'm just naming names.
No, you're good. You're good. I like this. But I want to stick with the Nationals for 1 second because we went to a Nationals game. They were playing the Diamondbacks. And I really liked CJ Abrams. That guy.
Abrams.
That guy's cool.
Yeah.
Are they going to trade him?
He's an all-star.
Okay, no. Good.
I don't know. Good. He's like the centerpiece of their rebuild right now.
Okay, cool.
They got him in the Soto trade with the Padres.
Okay, nice.
It was the blue chip prospect. Although, did you see Mackenzie Gore by chance? He was a pitcher.
Probably. I'm not sure.
He was another prospect that they got back. Well, 1 in 5 chance that you saw him.
Okay.
He was a starter.
That's a good point. But Gore, you said?
Was one of the guys that got back, and then Gore.
Mackenzie.
McKenzie. And then, when did you go to the game? How long ago was this?
3 weeks ago.
Okay, so you didn't see James Wood, but he's another one of those prospects that they just brought up. So that's like what I'm saying with the White Sox, where you can set yourself up for a rebuild by trading like one or two guys.
Yeah, the Nationals did it with all their guys.
That's three guys that are on the Nationals right now that they got from the Soto trade.
That's pretty cool.
I still don't think they should have traded him, but they shouldn't have traded any of those guys. But yes, they got a huge haul for him. So that's kind of where these teams are at, these bad teams. Even like middling teams, if they want to just go full rebuild.
So a team like the Nationals.
I don't know if there's any. I guess Toronto, I think, is one of those teams right now where they could just fire sell. Like they could trade Guerrero. They could trade Bo Bichette. Chris Bassett, they're going to trade. He's a starting pitcher. And they could get a huge haul of prospects and basically just say, this go didn't work. We're going to try to run it back. Because they were one of those teams like 5 years ago where it was like, this is the next team that's going to win game. Like, they have 4 or 5 guys coming up, really good lineup. They're going to be able to spend money in free agency. And it just didn't work at all. So it would be a little surprising to see them completely fire sell, but it would definitely be interesting.
So what's the biggest name that is most likely to get moved? Did you already? I mean, you probably already mentioned it, but
yeah, I think it's Luis Robert.
Okay. Oh no!
Honestly, Crochet might be the biggest starting pitcher. It might be 2 White Sox.
That would make sense. I mean, they're abysmal, so that would make sense.
Yeah, if the A's trade Mason Miller, I think he becomes the biggest bullpen name for sure. I just don't think that's going to happen. The Rays could make things interesting if they start to trade guys. Texas could make things interesting if they decide to trade. Like, if they make Adolis Garcia available, that would make things very interesting. But I don't know if the market is going to play to those teams. So, we'll see.
Should be interesting. I'm glad we did this. I didn't realize.
As Chisholm of Marlins will also be traded, I think.
What's his name?
He was on the cover of the show a couple years ago, but Jazz Chisholm.
That's a great
name. He's like the most overrated player in baseball.
Yeah, because his name is great Jazz.
And he's really cool, and he's has a big personality, but he's not that good.
Well, it's baseball. They'll take what they can get. All
right. That's right.
So, to wrap this up, what are the Phillies going to do anything in the trade deadline? Do they need to do anything? Are you worried they're peaking too soon?
Yeah.
You are worried.
I think that they are. My what?
I said, are you worried they're peaking too soon? You said, yeah. Is that?
Oh, no. I was answering the first question of, do I think they're going to do anything?
Okay.
I think the biggest need right now is either center field. There's really not that many options. Robert is the big name. Chisholm, but Chisholm's a lefty and he doesn't play good defense. And I don't know if I want to give up all the prospects to get Robert. I would prefer a right-handed corner outfielder because they have Brandon Marsh playing left field right now, who's a lefty, and he cannot hit lefties to save his life. Like, he is so bad that they don't even play him. But the alternatives to him that they have right now are ass. So if they could just get, like, if they get a guy like Lane Thomas from the Nationals, who's a decent outfielder, he matches against left-handed pitching, that would be, like, my dream. deadline. That's it. That's all I need. Another bullpen arm, maybe. You can never have enough. But yeah, that's what I would like. That center field is like the big hole. I just don't know. I don't really love any of the options out there. Fair and enough. I'm okay with Johan Rojas because he's so fast. He cannot hit at all. You might just have to swallow that one for the defense. It'll be interesting.
Love to hear it. I'm going to cater to the local audience. We already did it a little bit with the Nationals. Let's end off with the Orioles. What should they do with the trade deadline? Are they peaking too soon? Same questions. Another homer for the Phillies. Turn
the double play with bases loaded.
Oh, nice.
Orioles. So they are in the conversation for Garrett Crochet. Also Justin Steele. That's funny. Wyatt just texted me about how much he wants Justin Steele on the Orioles. He's a starting pitcher for the Cubs. I think they need another starter and a really good bullpen arm. What sucks for them is so many of their starting pitching has gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's part of me that's like, you don't want to give up prospects for guy if he's not under long-term control, because have such a young team and your window is just opening and you're gonna have starting pitching come back.
Yeah,
the other part of me is like, you don't know how long your window is gonna be open for. You know it's open right now. You've already developed all these players. Like, you don't need, they have a great pool of prospects. They don't need all of them. Injuries every year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a chance, go for it. So I think they do. I think they take a big swing. Honestly,
big swing.
And I think they get one of the best arms, and I think they get another bullpen piece, if not multiple. So they could even go get another outfielder too. They could use a left fielder or center fielder.
And then you're gonna wake up to a World Series of Phillies. You're gonna wake up into your Armageddon. Orioles.
My nightmare.
Yeah. Orioles, Phillies. All right. Well, it sounds like they're in a good position. It sounds like after years of being dormant at the trade deadlines, it seems like that they're really interested in some big names. So that should be fun. See what they do.
Yeah. We'll see. But the time is now.
Iron Top.
It is not the time to be waiting around for prospect. Like, they've hoarded prospect. You know how bad they had to be for so long to have this many good prospects?
And they were bad for so long. They developed
that so long. So, so long.
It's,
I am very curious.
Are you telling me that, like, it's a full count for the Orioles here? They gotta make a play. Full count, like, is that not
sure? Yeah.
All right, cool. Come on, give me something there. That was creative. All right, let's move on. That was our baseball pre All-Star recap. Now we're moving into our top fives.
Yeah, update.
Update. Our top five for the week. We're doing top five stadiums we have been to. So. Can't do anything that we haven't been to. It's pretty simple. So, Chris, I'm going to let you go number one. I don't think it's going to be contentious where who gets first, so.
Really shouldn't be.
No, I don't think it should be. But
considering we root for different teams and live in different places for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, my number one.
FedEx Field.
Has got to be the place where. FedEx Field is list all the stadiums that I've ever been to, and it's last for FedEx Field. Number one, where I've made the most memories by far, is Citizens Bank Park, especially in the playoffs. That place is unmatched. It's not even close. Like the atmosphere of that building in October. Even in the regular season now, like, the vibes are just great.
Hey, wait, explain a little bit.
But during the playoffs, it's...
Well, who plays there, Chris? Of course, I know, but what if the audience doesn't?
Phillies play there.
There you go. Come on.
Yeah, this is the Philly Stadium.
There you go.
In Philadelphia.
There you go.
I guess, yeah, I just assume that everybody knows. Yeah. It's a jungle.
So, did you go when you were younger, I'm guessing, right? As well?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I've been going since I was... First time I went was probably when I was 5 or 6 years old.
Now, have you felt... So, you've been going for a long time now. Have you felt that there was a down period or an up period for the Phillies?
Oh, yeah.
And now it's coming... We're on the up. We're on the rolling back, I'm guessing.
There is a prolonged down period. Mm-hmm. From... I think it's from 08 to like either 12 or 13 where they sold out every home game. I mean, wow. I think maybe it was 09 after they won the World Series. So yeah, that was an up period, big up period. And then all of a sudden, like, they just completely collapsed. Well, not really all of a sudden. The team, they completely collapsed and entered like a dark era of 6 or 7 years of dreadful baseball. Not Orioles bad, but very, very bad. And like you would go on a Tuesday night and there'd be like 10,000 people there. So it took a while. Even when like the first year they signed Harper, they were getting better crowds, obviously, but still like you're not selling out every night. You're selling out some weekend games, but it's very rare. One of the best games that I went to was like, I think it was 2019. They went on an 8-game winning streak and they played the Mets on a Sunday. Ooh. And they were honoring Roy Halladay, who had died in a plane crash like a year ago.
Wow.
And this was in the middle of the 7-game win streak. They had like just taken first place. Mm-hmm. And that was like to date, that was the best game I'd been to as like a adolescent/adult, because I'd been to good games when I was little, but not that I could really experience.
Yeah.
So that was like the peak for me, and then 2 years later they make the playoffs.
And you go to and the
completely different. I had no idea what like how insane that place could be. And yeah, it was bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. I don't know if I'll be able to go again because I think everybody is like so desperate to go to one because it's been like the talk of the playoffs the last 2 years is how crazy it is. But so very lucky that I got to go twice.
And you went to the NL championship, right?
Yes, we went to the division series. We went to game four. It was when they closed out the Braves. And then we were at the game and like 5 minutes after they win and like they celebrate on the field, my dad just looks at me and goes, also bought tickets to the next year.
Nice.
I was like, what? Nice. What are you talking about? He's like, I didn't want to say anything.
That is such a great dad. I didn't want to jinx him. That's a great dad moment.
But he was like, you see that section like that
we're facing right there. Right? Yeah.
He's like, we're gonna be sitting next week for game five. And I was like, are you kidding me? They go up 3-1 in the series, and it's a chance to close them out again to go to the World Series. And they're up 2-1, blow the lead in the seventh inning. It starts pouring rain. It's cold. It's slowly turning into the worst game that I've ever been to, given the stakes. And then Harper comes up in the eighth and hits that home run.
Did you die and go to heaven?
Possibly the best moment. I blacked out.
I'm sure.
And then he'll describe it, and he's like, yeah, I remember exactly what I was thinking, like, as soon as the ball was hit, and I was like, I don't.
Yeah. I was just like...
I remember watching the ball, and then the moment after, just... Whoop.
Yeah. That's awesome. No, I have...
It was insane.
I have been to that stadium. Great stadium. Has some good food there.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I like the pick. I like the pick. And
surprise. Yeah, I guess aside from the atmosphere, it's a nice stadium. They do have very good food.
Mm-hmm. Fairly priced.
It's not a terrible baseball stadium. Right. Yeah, they have a little wiffle ball field inside the stadium, which is cool.
That's cool.
They have the bell that rings. Nothing super flashy, but it's a nice ballpark.
Not to hopefully not to step on your toes here, but I'm guessing you don't have another Philly one. So it is also cool that they have all the Philly ones on the same street.
It is, yeah.
I thought that was like leaving the park.
It's one giant complex.
And I thought the coolest part was leaving, whereas like you look around and you're just at a baseball game and there's a football stadium next year and there's a basketball stadium next year.
Yep.
And I thought that was sick. All right. Good pick.
When it's not cool is when the Sixers and the Phillies play on the same night and they both lose.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have 65,000 people. Yeah. Because that has happened before. And it's not fun.
All right. My pick is across the pond. It is Etihad Stadium from Manchester City. It's where the Manchester City team plays.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get to see a game there, sadly, so I don't know what the atmosphere looks like. But I got a whole tour of the stadium.
YouTube videos.
The YouTube videos are cool. I saw a whole tour of the outside complex. There are practice facilities on the outside. And like the plan for what they're trying to do around the stadium. And it's freaking amazing. Like these soccer stadiums low-key blow our football stadiums out of the water. And they're making this whole sporting complex right around it. It's an integral part of the city. I mean, everyone walks there from the city. And it's almost not fair to put this on there just because I haven't seen any other professional soccer stadiums or football over across the pond. But this one was pretty sweet. And it just like I didn't even know how to describe. Like if you can look up pictures right now, you could see just kind of what I'm talking about. It's just a huge space, and they have in the stadium they have like spots for events. They have we were in like a meeting room in the back rooms of the stadium. And it also might be unfair because I didn't get a background stadium tour of any of the other stadiums that I've been to, but this was pretty sick.
I mean, it looks awesome.
Yeah, when you look at it, it's like, is this like a Disney World for soccer? Just like they have like these giant towers in the front or pillar type things point up in the sky. And it's big. It's just massive. Really cool experience. I was glad I was able to.
Do you know how many it seats?
Give me one sec. 53,000 people.
I guess I could look at it. Okay, so it's not that big.
No,
just like the area.
Yeah, it's more of it's not as big seating wise as you'd expect, but just like the mass of it, and they have the they have like a they have a store right on the outside of it. It's really nice. So that's not as many.
I mean, they
stories
are, like,
of it, but.
They are crazier about soccer than we are about
anything. Oh, yeah. That was the other thing that you didn't realize until you got there is like, yeah, this isn't like, oh, I like the Patriots and you like the Commanders. Like, this is, I live and die for the Manchester City soccer team. But, and I'm sure, like, I already put it at number one, of course, but I feel like if I was actually at a game and I got to see the atmosphere, that would blow out anything I've seen.
I've thought about that, like planning a trip over there to like England and Scotland and whatever, and I feel like I'd have to go see the game to experience it.
In Manchester City, actually in Scotland, Scotland, on that same trip, we went to, maybe it wasn't Manchester, either way, over there, we went to a little, not a little league, that makes it sound bad, a lower division soccer game. And these guys, I don't know soccer, but these guys were not good. I'm sitting next to guys who played high school soccer, and they're like, man, these guys suck. And the crowd was into it. They were living and dying, doing the chants, like throwing towels up in the air. And it's some Manchester team that no one's ever heard of. That atmosphere was incredible, even though the stadium, though, sucked. That was a terrible stadium. But,
yeah. It's crazy that, like, every town has a team.
Yep.
And the people of the town just live and die with the team.
Yeah, yeah. That's insane. And I think the coolest part is that all the players on the team live in the town. They're not like free agents. They're not like trading. They're not like,
yeah.
They just grew up there and they loved playing soccer the whole time. So they're just going to play soccer for them. It's a sweet concept that America doesn't have.
The closest thing to it, I think, is college football,
mm-hmm.
but it's only select places where, like, in the South, like, you're born into a college team.
Yeah. And you're living and dying by it. Yeah. Yep, right, yeah, that's a great comparison.
Other than that, like, I mean, there are like factions of fan bases that are that level of diehard, but it's not like
it's not
the whole town is like that. Like, we don't have like an Edgewater baseball team that like everyone goes to every game and like that.
Or even at that point, like like an Annapolis Peninsula one, sure. where it's like we don't even have that area, you know? Like,
right. Doesn't Annapolis have a soccer team or
they do the Blues? They have a lacrosse. They have a soccer team, the Blues. I went to a game. It was pretty fun.
Was it electric?
It was fun. We call it electric.
Defenders
were electric.
That's basically it.
Yeah. All right. What's your number two?
All right. This top five is taking much longer than I thought it would.
Yeah. Yeah, we could speed through these next ones.
My number two is another homer pick. Xfinity Center. My favorite building with a roof, I think, in the whole world. It's Maryland's basketball arena.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I should have led with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
that is another place that when it fills up, first I'll talk about the actual building first. The whole building is like a museum of Maryland athletics. So they have the Wall of Fame, like all the best Maryland athletes for every sport. They have a little section for each sport with the trophies and plaques and stuff like that. They have...
Oh, man.
Men's and women's on display, like, right when you walk in. They're huge glass cases. And then they have the Final Four wood, like a cutout from center court for both the men's and the women's on one of the lower levels, which is awesome. So just, like, the building itself, it's almost as big as an NBA arena.
It's
probably
massive.
As big as some of them. It's a very impressive structure.
It really is.
They have big stairs leading up to it, which I always thought were cool. They're going to mm-hmm. be a pain when I'm old and still coming to games. But, huge, huge building for college basketball. But when they're good, they fill it up. And for a place that loud or a place that big, it gets really loud. A lot of people miss the old arena because you were more, like, packed in.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was cool, but they do a good job of the fans are crazy.
Yeah,
it's just the team has to be good. That's the only problem.
I'm gonna throw some more points to help you out here. I love I love how tall the seating is. Like, I know maybe that doesn't make sense to some people, but
the student wall.
Yeah, and not even just the student like wall, Steve? But all the seats. The seats just go like. There's like it seems like there's a bottomless seats there, and it just goes up and up and up. And I remember when I was younger, I went to a Maryland game, and I was up in like the nosebleeds, and like you're up there, like that is a tall arena, and you're up there, and you're just it's really cool though. And you're right, when they're good, the Maryland fans show out, they go crazy. The one qualm I'll have about it is the like famous people, like celebrity section. That's kind of lame. I don't like how it's like right in front of the students.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Mean like the floor or the seats on the floor? Or
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. The seats on the floor. No, the seats on the floor where we saw who'd be Scott Van Pelt,
Loxley, and yeah,
Van Pelt.
Yeah. And I guess you don't think that's cool that they're right by students.
No, like I guess it's cool, like because the students do get to interact with them. Like I got to interact with Scott Van Pelt, which never would have happened. But I don't know. I just think keep that open for the students. But it is a little far from the court. Like the student seats are a little far from the court, so I get why they have that there.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be my only critique.
I would prefer to be more on top of the opponents, but.
Yeah, that is the only thing that Colonial Life does better than Xfinity is that I'm yelling at the player.
Proximity of the stage.
Yeah. A great pick though. I loved going there. It was a lot of fun, and it does get loud. They do the Maryland flag over all the students and everything. They have nice hype videos in the beginning.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of them.
All right, I'll just stop talking then.
I like the Maryland flag. I'm not a huge fan of them dropping it every single year. It's just, it gets old.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, when you go to every single one, I'm sure it gets old. Going to the one, it was cool, but I'm sure going to every single one.
Yeah, and everyone's like taking videos. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
My roommate takes a video like every third game. Dude, you go to games. Videos to me. He gets drunk and he gets excited.
That's fair. That's fair.
Which I guess. A lot of people there. That's what happens.
Well, hey, go ahead. Speaking of drunk and excited, the TD Boston Garden is my next pick. It's a great, great basketball arena. Right in the middle of the city, there's a subway station attached to it. It's a lot like Capital One in that sense. And beautiful structure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just has all the seats you could possibly imagine. It's the Concord was cool. Have all the Celtic stuff on the side, all the banners on the top. Definitely a homer pick. Only been once, but
a lot of banners.
A lot of banners. And but just going to such a historic, and I guess that one technically isn't even that historic of an arena, but just going to the Boston Garden is something that if you're a basketball fan, I'd hope you get to experience one day, because it's not like the Mecca or anything. I've never been to the Mecca, so I don't know. But great, great basketball arena. All the fans there, too, like, that's why I brought it up. They're all just hammered the whole time. And they're like, we were like, you know, we weren't in nosebleeds, but we were up there. And, like, they're yelling like they're right next to the guys. They're yelling, oh, Horford, what are you doing down there, Horford? And it's just like, yeah, it's belligerent the whole time. It actually got to one point. We're like, my dad and I were like, we have a headache. Like, this is terrible. And because the guys behind us were just like,
it gets to be too much.
Oh, yeah. It just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
But talk about a fan base that brings it every time. Loud fan base. Great stadium. Holds, like, I maybe that doesn't make any sense, but like, holds the sound well. Like, all the sound travels well. It's great. I like it.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's keep this going.
That's a good pick. I definitely like to get up there sometime. All right, my number three, only college football stadium on my list, and it's not mine. It's actually Lane Stadium in Virginia Tech.
That's a great
pretty
stadium.
Cool place. It is that, I mean, for Enter Sandman alone, I think it deserves to be on this list. But just I like the way that the stadium is structured. I don't know how to describe it. But they just kind of like pack everybody in. Mm-hmm. There's like one deck. It just goes up.
Yeah. The seats are, like on top of each other, too.
There are no levels. Yeah, yeah. And it feels like you're right on top of the act. Like, we're in the way upper deck. And even then, it feels you're just, like, looking right down on the game. And, yeah, it's just great atmosphere, too.
Enter Sandman's
awesome.
They're
crazy down there. Their Hokies, yeah. It was cool to experience that, so.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I should have gone more. I mean, I guess Nick's still there, but That stadium's, I mean, we're going to talk, if we have another college football one, it's going to be a similar conversation, but the culture behind it, everyone gets up for the Enter Sandman, right, yeah. Everyone stomps their feet, everyone has everything they pass out, and I think this is going to be funny, because it's such a random thing to like about it, but I kind of like that it's just in the middle of the woods. It's just like,
oh, middle of nowhere.
It's just like, oh, there's a stadium. And the when you walk, like you're walking through Blacksburg on game day and everyone's tailgating, drunk, doing all their things. And then it's like an hour and a half before the game. And it's like, remember in SpongeBob when they had the plankton mask and all of a sudden they drop down on their heads and they all just all hail plankton. It's like all hail the Hokies. And everyone is just walking one by one, single file to the stadium.
Yeah.
It's like somebody
you're
said.
You're walking up, like you're doing the ramps, and just let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hokies.
It's like
the whole time.
It's like somebody said the nukes are dropping, and that's where the fallout shelter is. And everyone's just lining up and walking. Like, it's like they're just there. Yeah. They're, no matter what you're doing, it's like they all have like a synchronous watch timer. And it's like, they oh, time to go. Everyone just drops what they're doing and starts walking.
It was weird experiencing getting to the game like 20 minutes before the game started, because Maryland people get there 20 minutes. If that. So it was a culture shock, and I loved it, because like I obviously as a crazy sports fan, it drives me nuts that people get there that late and then leave after the first half. So I liked it. Was a good experience for me.
All right, well, I'm taking the same similar course, and it was my number four, but I'm bumping it up because everything you described, it's got to be better than the next one. Williams-Brice Stadium, South Carolina's home stadium.
I thought that would be your number one.
It could be. It really could be. It's a great. The issue is the stadium's a little old. Like, the stadium itself is a little old. It's got like the bathroom situation's not great. The seating's all right, but the atmosphere, and the town around, the city of Columbia around the stadium also, it's not in a good location. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's like in the middle of like outside of Columbia. It's kind of a pain to get to.
Mm.
But, so that's why it's number three. But why it's up here, you know, you talk about people coming to the games 20 minutes before. It's an hour and a half. People show up to the Gamecocks game. There are people lined out. They come an hour and a half early to line up around the entrance to where the players come. And then the players walk and have like a parade into the stadium every single game, no matter how bad we are.
That's cool.
And there's a bunch of people there every time. They call it the Gamecock Walk. It's pretty cool. It's cool to experience. Like I saw it once against Clemson, took my parents, took my brother, and it was cool to see then. I'm not going to go every game.
Mm-hmm.
If you have kids and stuff and you want to, you know, high five the coach, it's a fun experience. But then you get into the game, everyone's there, they're all hammered. Everyone gets a towel, and when the lights go dark and it's a night game in Williams-Brice Stadium, there's really not an atmosphere like it. The lights are red on the outside of the structure. The structure, too, it looks like a giant claw, like, on each side, which I think is cool. Where above the seating, well, I guess because people, it's a podcast. Above the seating is, like, two overhangs that look like claws when you look at it from an aerial point of view. Those, like, light up with LED red lights. Everyone's swinging their towels. Sandstorm's playing. Now they started bringing out, they're like, our thing now is there's a bunch of train cars around the stadium called cockabooses, and rich people buy them and they party in them. They just have, it's like a living train car. Like, you can like live in it if you wanted to. And people just, rich people buy them and they just.
Can they like sleep in there after the game?
If they wanted to, I'm sure there's probably central AC in some of them. Now, our tradition, it started like 2 years ago. We take one of the cockabooses, we put some sort of Carolina celebrity on it, and we just roll it out onto the field right before the game. We just roll this train out on the field. I don't know how they move. I guess it has just wheels under it. But They move the train cars. Some guy comes out. Everyone cheers. It was Deebo Samuels once. It was Darude Sandstorm. Darude Sandstorm was the best one. He's playing the DJ thing.
Oh, that's cool.
He's playing the DJ thing awesome. In the train car. And then he comes out and everyone's going crazy. countless memories there. Countless moments where I forgot there. And it's a lot of fun. I got to get you down here for a game since I'm here another semester. I got to get you down here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I remember, like, watching the videos from it, like, when I was in high school. And I'm just like, because there was a part of me that was like, I just want to go to the school that has the best football team. So, like, I'm watching videos from all the stadiums. And that was one where I was like, damn, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really, like, my brother, he went to LSU. Well, he didn't go to LSU as a school. He went to a football game in LSU and went to an Ole Miss game. He did say LSU was better than Williams-Brice, mm-hmm. but he said that Williams-Brice was number two with all the mm-hmm. all the things that he did. So yeah, it's a great experience.
Yeah.
It's really cool to try to check out. And it's, you know, I guess if you want to, the only issue is you got to go to Columbia. I guess like that's the only thing that like if you want to go from outside to go to a game, the only thing there to go to is a game. All right. That was long-winded. We're getting up here. We thought we couldn't even make an hour on this pod. Let's keep it going. What you got?
I mean, I think we've unlocked like my favorite thing to talk about, which is stadiums. Take this and run with it. All right, my number four is Coors Field out in Denver, where the Colorado Rockies play.
Oh,
that's cool. Pretty neat ballpark. Just like a cool setting to watch a game. Always awesome sunsets.
Can you see the mountains behind there. It? I was going to say, that's cool.
I couldn't where I sat, but I think from other locations you could. But the ball travels further because of the elevation, so there's more home runs, which is a plus.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's a very nice ballpark. For how old it is, I think it's decently old. It's very modern, very a great viewing experience if you're just like going to a game is like if you're traveling out there like I was and want to see it. It does not disappoint.
Sounds cool. I mean, I got no nothing about it, but it sounds like a beautiful city.
Keep it moving.
All right. All right. New England, Foxborough. I thought it was a really cool stadium. I thought it was another one. I guess I mean. It's Homer, but also like history of the game type deal. You know, they have a bunch of banners. It looks really cool. They have a bunch of trophies in there. They just got a lighthouse. Don't know what that's about. They're kind of in like a, what I like about it is they're kind of like in a Patriot Park. So they have Foxborough. Then they have, I kind of like when the team store is outside, like right outside of it, but not connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that. Then they have like a nice little walking area that connects to the parking lots and everything. So I think like when they add a nice little area around it where the fans can just come in and out and have like a nice, like they don't have to worry about traffic hitting them or anything like that. That's, I always appreciate that in a stadium.
So you like that, I guess you're not from Boston, so you probably have a different take on it, but you like the fact that it's not like in the city or right outside the city. It's like a decent ways. And I guess they are the New England Patriots, so.
Yeah, and it's actually, I think it's like about an hour away from Boston. So it's not close. And I don't know, I don't mind it. I mean, of course I don't live up there. I'm sure people in Boston get pretty mad that they have to drive out of the city and then away somewhere else to go to the stadium. But as, you know, as a guy who's just visiting, it was pretty cool. And I don't know. I think it's funny because earlier I said I liked how the Philly stuff was all together. But if you're going to be New England Patriots, then you shouldn't have to be. You shouldn't
Boston stuff could not be less together.
Boston's not close at all. Well, Fenway's close to TD Bank, right? No? I don't know.
They're both in the city, but I think like when I was looking at a map, they didn't look close. At all.
Yeah, they're probably on the opposite sides.
I was thinking about going up. Well, not thinking about, but
I guess, yeah, thinking about visiting Boston. I was looking at the map. That's
cool city to visit.
I do just look at maps out of nowhere, actually. That's, I don't know why.
Are you Sheldon Cooper? Should we have a fun with flags map or a podcast? Fun with flags. Remember that? All right.
No, I don't actually.
Oh, I gotta put you all in the fun with flags. Go ahead. Just keep going. You're number
all
five.
Right. My last one. Yep. I'll throw a bone to the local crowd and I'll go with Camden Yards.
Ah, man.
Great ballpark. Was that your last one too?
Yeah, I was gonna.
Definitely doesn't feel as modern as some of the other stadiums on
in a good
my
way
list,
though.
But was yeah.
Like it's very
brick. It was the first. Yeah, the warehouse mm-hmm. in right field is cool. I like Utah Street a lot. The like rooftop or roof deck that they put up is cool. They have good food. And when Camden Yards was built, it was like the first modern baseball stadium. Like they didn't used to look like they used to be look like football stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look up like Veteran Stadium or Memorial Stadium or some of this old Three River Stadium, like all those, they would share with the football team and it would look kind of silly. So that was the first one that looked like that. So props for that too, I guess. Only complaint is that the wall in left field looks really stupid. I get why they moved it back, but it looks really dumb.
Yeah, I'd agree. They added a splash zone. Did you hear about that? The splash zone at Camden?
That was like last year.
Oh, well, they're doing it again this year. And they're calling it the bird bath.
I'm pretty sick of the splash zone, to be honest. It was neat at first, and then
it's only good at like a 1 p.m. game in like when it's like 95 degrees. It's the only place you'd ever want to sit in the splash zone.
I mean, it's 95 degrees every night.
Yeah, that's true.
At this point.
That's true.
Yeah, if like in the playoffs, when it's like 50 degrees.
Splash zone!
Down.
Food.
Ah, no! Isn't ya? I'm like 9-0 in the middle of October. Yeah, somebody hits a double and they're like, we have to do it. I'm
sorry, man. You paid for it. You paid for the splash zone ticket. Yeah.
You wanted to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
Please don't.
All right. My last pick here is now, they were all honorable mentions. I'm going to go with, I'm going to throw another bone, and I like the Wizard Stadium. I think Capital One Arena is great. I think it's a great stadium.
I do too.
I think.
You should go for a hockey game.
Yeah, I've heard. Okay, and we're going to get another tangent. We don't have time for another tangent. Capital One. Great arena, modern arena. They redid it all when the Caps won in, 2018? 16? No way, it's 16.
18.
18, all right. 18. So when they won it all in 18, they redid, like, a lot of the stadium. They have really, like, it looks really high. It looks really modern, really high tech. They have a really stupid, and I've described this on the pod before, a really stupid security system. When you come in, you put all your stuff down in like a basket, you take a left, and you go back down the table that you were just at, then have to go around and then go pick up your stuff afterwards. Hey, it's bad.
Like I haven't had to deal with that before.
But maybe that was just a one-time thing. I've gone to plenty of Wizards games there. Great seats. Like the seats are nice too. It's a modern basketball stadium.
Seats are nice.
I think it's nicer than the Charlotte. Like if we're comparing no atmosphere basketball arenas, then they blow Charlotte's out of the water.
Also, Tulsa Barclays Center in there. I've been there. I like Capital One better.
There you go. Mini list.
Centers.
No, no aura basketball arenas. Yeah. That's our next top five. All right. We got a honorable mentions. Gotta throw in Colonial Life. Doesn't have much to it. It's pretty small, but we get to sit right on top of the players and get to yell at them. So that's a plus.
Yep.
Got any honorable mentions before we wrap this up?
Oh yeah, I threw Audi Stadium on there.
Audi Stadium, yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah, that wasn't bad. That was a good stadium.
Yeah, the Dean Dome at UNC, their basketball arena, is pretty awesome. I didn't get to really explore it because we just went for a game and then left, and it's kind of a last minute decision. But it seems like they have a lot of history stuff there too, and it's a massive arena. And then Heinz Field, I guess it's not Heinz Field anymore. But I haven't gone for a Steelers game, but I've gone for Pitt games.
Oh, okay.
And it's a neat stadium, just because it's like, I don't know, just Pittsburgh's just cool.
Yeah.
But they do have troughs.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, I think they might have gotten rid of it. I think my cousin told me that they got rid of them. The last time I went, they had troughs. It's honestly nice when it's freezing cold because the piss, like, goes in the air and warms you up a little bit.
The troughs aren't that bad.
It's disgusting, but...
They're gross, but they're not, like... Because the one thing that's nice about the troughs is that, like, you don't have to wait for a urinal. It's like, you know?
I guess. It's just a lot of penises to be out in the wild.
Yeah, I agree.
In close proximity.
All right, that's a perfect way to end off this podcast. With penises flying around. Thank you all for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. We will be back with two next week. We're going to figure that out. We're going to do some sort of NBA power rankings at one of the days.
Oh, I'm moving Friday.
All right. So Tuesday, Thursday.
It's Friday.
Try to get it there. Unless you
check out the moving day graphic.
Yeah. We might have to look it out. All right. Well, then I just lied then. We might be doing one. We'll figure it out. We'll let you guys know more ahead of time than we did this week. That was a long way to wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. We'll see everyone next week.